Where do we draw the line, or when does something become a sin? For example, taking food into the movie theater, not registering an indoor-only cat, copying a music CD for a friend, etc.
Not registering an indoor... Do you have to register cats? I mean, is that a... Man, yet another argument for not having a cat. No, I'm kidding. As if we needed one. No, cats are great. We're dog people, but, you know, we had cats, and Angie's still in therapy about Rainbow and Cassie, and one of them ran away. Was it Cassie or Cassie? And yeah, but Karina's in a support group about Cassie, and I don't know. But did we ever register Cassie or Rainbow? Probably not. Wow. Okay, so I'm sorry. I kind of took off on that, didn't I? About the regulations.
When there's a rule, but yet we think it's a silly rule type of a thing.
Yeah.
Where do you draw the line as to, is this a sin? Am I
so is this like the kind
God
of person that would bring soda pop into a theater?
Horrible.
Yeah, horrible. That's why Nancy brings big purses to theaters. And that's why I bring coats even the summer to theaters, so I've got the zip up.
It is awfully cold with the air conditioning in there.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, you're paying an arm and a leg to go in there, and now you got to get... Okay, so, yes, I would say, there's a balance. There's a balance of... we should not promote disregard for... rules, regulations, etc. We should also realize that we live in the most overregulated society that has ever existed. I mean, to the point of ridiculousness. And at some point, I think you just say, for some things that are so minor and so secondary, and registering your cat might possibly fall into that category, say, I'm willing to go to the wall if they lock me up for 10 years for this. I'm willing, as a matter of principle, but where you just go, and I think part of the question, you know, obviously relates to the example and the model and for your kids and all that. So, you know, there are things like something like don't cheat on homework. That's an absolute. I mean, that's just there's no getting around that one. And do what you're told in this area and that area. But I also think there's another side of legalism. You're out somewhere. Have you ever been? I was stuck one night. I was driving home late, and have you ever had a red light that's stuck? The red light was stuck. So it's a green light on this side. Nobody's coming this way. Nobody's coming that way. And I'm sitting there with the red light, and you know, finally I go through the red light. So did I run a red light? Yeah. If I had been seen, could I have been? Yeah. Do I think it was morally wrong? Am I going to be held accountable for it in the judgment seat of Christ? I don't think so. First of all, there's a long list of things I'm going to be held accountable for in the judgment seat of Christ. And if that comes up, it's going to be so low. It's, oh, yeah, and what about that red light? So I think an idea of freedom and flexibility, but take seriously those things which should be taken seriously. I help coach tennis at Barlow High School. I work with guys. And we have certain team rules. And somebody will come and say, oh, this happened, and that's why I was late. Fine. We're not going to punish you. This was my algebra teacher held me after class and said, you know, talk to me about this. Well, we're not going to punish them for that. But another kid comes in late, day after day, and he's got some lame excuse or whatever, and we punish him and say, you can't play in our next match because you just keep doing it. So you just look at the situation, and some rules are flexible and some aren't, and most of it has to do with the heart and the intent. Always look at your kid's heart. I think I mentioned last year, and some of you are familiar with it, the Tripp's book, Shepherding a Child's Heart, and I highly recommend that book. And I even love the title, The Heart.